time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Ollie from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 169 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too. Don't forget. We brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
Today we're drinking Guatemalan coffee.
I feel like I want to go to Guatemala. You want to go?
I would love to go to Guatemala. That sounds amazing.
Okay, so where can everybody get this delicious Guatemalan coffee?
BantamRoasters.com.
And use the code FluffyButt. It's an awesome code. 10% off anything you purchase online. You don't see a code like that everywhere. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to sip some of this delicious Guatemalan coffee and chat?
I am. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved, Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly's, go to our website or our show notes and use the link. Try it today. Okay, so I'm feeling better than last week. That's a plus.
Yes, it is.
It's a plus. Like, I feel like I'm more coherent. Like, I can remember. I played back the episode and I was like, man, I don't even remember saying that stuff, half of it. I was probably a little delusional at that point, but we made it through.
We did make it through. I didn't realize how bad my voice was because I was doing my own share of coughing. So it was not our best audio work.
But we were here.
We were there. And
we represented. I'm back. I'm not 100%. I'm very fatigued very easily. I still have the cough. The cough has yet to go away. And it's like COVID. When it hits you hard, it hits you hard.
It hits you like a box of hammers.
Yeah, it really. And I feel like it's going to take me a few weeks to build my strength back up. Because
probably.
I'm like, oh, I put the chickens out. I hugged a few chickens. Now I'm going to sit down. Okay, I did that.
I need to rest.
I'm going to rest for a few. I did a load of laundry. Let me sit down for about an hour after doing that. So yeah, I'm still recuperating, but I'm feeling much better. Other than that, what's going on with you?
I am planting every seed I can get my fingers on. I'm like losing my mind over the garden this year. Oh, and you saw this. It made me laugh. I was on Seed Savers Exchange and I'm planting a ton of greens, both because Pete and I use them in the house and because I want them for the chickens and the goslings.
Right.
Well, I bought this one I found on Seed Savers. It's called goose lettuce. Just goose lettuce.
Right.
And I got the packet and on the bottom it says, a honking good lettuce.
This is what I'm talking about, everybody. This is what I'm dealing with over here. Everything goose. Goose, goose, goose. Right down to the lettuce. Seriously?
Yes, the lettuce. Seriously. It's a honking good lettuce. Now, that being said, I'm also on a complete Mediterranean kick this year.
Holly Ann added to her order just to let everybody know because she couldn't resist. But I actually started it because I wanted to add one more buff Polish, buff right. lace Polish. And then you were like, well, maybe I could add another one or two.
And I did. And I ended up with, and I've wanted these birds for a long time, but I saw them at the Ohio Nationals and I find them stunning. One brown leghorn hen and one silver leghorn hen. And they are gorgeous. I can't wait to get them.
Oh, you're super excited.
We're going to be talking a lot of leghorn stuff on here in just a bit.
Lucy's going to be like, what about me? I am the ultimate leghorn.
Lucy is the OG.
She is.
She's stunningly beautiful. She set the stage for leghorns.
She did. She's like, there is nobody other than me out there for leghorns. Come on.
Well, Aunt Holly's bringing in some leghorns.
She's like, oh, Aunt Holly, don't even talk about them around me.
Next week, we may unveil their names next week. We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that ought to be fun. I mean, thinking about when the chicks come is always fun. And then it's fun when they're babies. And then thinking about when you're going to go into integration is like, what did I do?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
like thinking about, oh yeah, this is happening and this is happening. And then they get here and they're like, oh my God, if you can, there's cute. And then a few weeks in, you're like, what did I do to myself? It happens every year. Yeah. I don't know. Raise your hand if this has happened to you out there. And you almost anticipate, you know, that it's going to happen. Like you go through all the phases and then you say, well, I'm not getting any more chicks. And then as soon as the integration's going okay, you're like, okay, well, what chicks are we going to think about for next?
I was supposed to get 4 chicks. Now I have 7 chicks coming.
I was supposed to get 4 now, but the 5, I'm not as bad. But I did say as your best friend, I would help you out if you needed some help with some of the chicks.
That's very nice of you.
So on that note, if you love to ask us questions, if you love to communicate with us and we help you out a lot, one way that you can really help us by not spending a single cent is to go over and leave a written 5-star review for us over on Apple. It helps us immensely. While you're there, hit that subscribe button. It's another great way. They count those subscriptions and you never miss an episode. So it's a win-win for everybody.
If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, you can share your favorite episodes on social media. We got a lot of shares this week. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. It does amazing things.
It does. And we know that people really wanted to learn about the runner ducks last week. You can tell a few chicken loving friends about the podcast. You can visit our Etsy shop, t-shirts, mugs, tiny chickens. You can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. As always, a gigantic thank you to all of our patrons. And the other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website and our show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the August box, I absolutely love those amazingly good smelling nest box herbs and that giant roll of rooster stickers.
They're great. I love the wood decorative plate. It's going up in our studio today. And with all my baking, those egg separators are going to work awesomely.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today. I'm paddling on the lake and I'm relaxing into this next one because it's the Breed Spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
This what? Week's Breed Spotlight is the Lake Invelder.
Lake Invelder.
And I took lake out because I like to lay on a canoe in a lake and paddle around. That would be fun.
Oh my God.
It's amazing how my brain works.
Yes. Yeah, amazing is the right word for it.
In a great way. You stop that over there. Amazing in a great way. I am daily
amazed by the way that your brain works.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
The Lake Invelder, strictly speaking, that V is kind of like an F, Lake Invelder.
It is. It is.
So the beautiful Lake Invelder is a very old European heritage breed chicken that frankly deserves to be better known. They were developed around the German-Dutch borders, and they were selected to be an egg-laying breed. You'll see the name sometimes spelled with an F. Again, that's the German spelling. Instead of that V, still mostly pronounced as an F, Lakenfelder. They are small and sprightly black and white chickens that are excellent foragers and really beautiful to look at. And they're still quite rare.
You don't hear a lot of people talking about them. They need to be out there a little bit more, but you don't really hear a lot of people talking about them.
You don't. The Livestock Conservancy currently lists the Lakenfelder in the threatened category of the conservation priority list.
This is when we need to come in and do our job and bring some awareness to the breed. And that's what we like to do, is if there's a sleeper breed out there that people don't really know about and that's why they don't have them, let's bring some awareness to them. So we want to see the Lakenfelder go up, you know, and come off that threatened because of they're available. They're out there, but you just need to know about them.
Right. And frankly, if you're building a really nice laid back continental flock with, you know, Barnevelders and Bielefelders and even some of the French breeds, you know, I think the Lakenfelder would fit very nicely in a flock like that. Now, their origins are a little fuzzy. They are most likely an older breed who were kept in the area as a land race, probably for a long time. But in the 1800s, people started paying more attention to breeds. And so they started, you know, developing standards and concentrating on what a breed should look like. In a couple of different sources, I found these very hazy and undocumented mentions of a group or even groups of ancient people bringing the Lakenfelder with them out of Jerusalem or Palestine and into Northern Europe, which it could very well be true, but there's absolutely no solid evidence to back it up at this point. Either way, like, we wouldn't know what they were originally called. We wouldn't know any of that until some kind of documentation comes to light. So the breed's current name of Lakenfelder comes from the Lakenveld region of the Netherlands.
Of course, geographic.
There's also a black and white belted breed of cattle from the same region that's called Lakenfelder.
Okay.
Now, whenever you see Lakenfelders mentioned or you you research them, you hear anything about them, you'll see someone say that their name, Lakenfelder, means shadow on a sheet. Got that? Shadow on a sheet. So when I translated this, I came away with linen feel. Because Laken is sometimes used to mean a bed sheet, but it also means cloth or linen. So it could be literally bed linen, right?
Right.
And veld just means feel. So linen has a very long history of being grown in Northern Europe. And I think the linen field theory makes a lot more sense than the shadow on a sheet theory, because that doesn't make sense to me.
Or the Lakenfeld region, it's also geographic.
Well, that's what I mean. And the region would have been named Linen Field because perhaps it was a place where there was a lot of flax grown.
Right, exactly. It makes sense.
Yeah. So in 1901, the Lakenfelder arrived in the UK, and they very quietly landed in the US around the same time. The American Poultry Association Standard of Perfection accepted the Lakenfelder in 1939, quietly, again, with very little fanfare. And I looked around because, again, this is a breed that you just don't hear about. So I found mentions of Lakenfelders in some of the early 20th century poultry journals.
Did Lewis Wright have anything to say about them?
He did. Really, what he was saying was they're a nice bird. And that was about it. Yeah. So I found some ads for Lakenfelder hatching eggs in a 1916 edition of the Poultry Item Journal. And I thought this was fun. At the time, you could buy eggs from prize-winning Lakenfelder stock. They were selling for a rate of 15 eggs for $2.
Wow, that's super cheap.
Well, according to the historical currency converter, that's about $68 in today's money.
Oh, okay. So cheap for today's standards, but not for the standards back then.
But even $68...
for that many eggs is pretty good.
Yeah, for a rare breed, yeah. A 1914 edition of the Farm Journal actually ran a breed spotlight and a drawing of the Lakenfelder because readers were requesting an image of them for reference because they didn't know what they looked like.
Yeah, look, I want to see what this bird looks like that I'm going to win. So draw me a picture, please.
And then they had to wait for the next journal to come out to see it.
Exactly. So if they were to draw a picture, Lakenvelders are small body birds. Okay. The roosters are going to be weighing in around 4.5 to 5 pounds and the hens around 3.5 to 4. They're leghorn size. If we always go back to give you a bird, a point of reference, the leghorn is going to be that small bodied bird that we're always going to go back to. So they're about the size of a leghorn.
Yeah.
They are strikingly high contrast with white body and black neck and tail feathers with slate blue legs and feet. So if you can imagine that, that's a really stunning bird.
They're beautiful.
They have good sized straight combs and wattles and white ear loops.
Mm-hmm.
Roosters have beautiful, full, flowy tails. Of course they do. The roosters get all the beautiful feathers,
fancy,
right?
Fancy boys.
And the color variety we most commonly see is the silver and the black on white bird.
Right. That's the black on white. Yeah.
Yeah. There is apparently a gold Lakenvelder that is distinct from the Vorwerk, which we just profiled, what, in episode 164 or something
right,
like that?
Right.
But is not an APA accepted color and seems very, very hard to find. So really the black and white Lakenvelder is where you're going to get if you're going to get this bird.
Yeah.
So drum roll, please. Let's go into egg laying statistics. Hens are good layers of a medium to large white or cream tinted egg. We already knew that was coming. They have white ear loops.
Right.
Shocker. But it's a medium to large egg from a small bird. That's like the leghorn also. The leghorn's going to give you a large egg from a small bird.
Right.
And they'll give you 200 plus a year. Those are great numbers. And they rarely go broody. So that's also a plus that, you know, if you don't need a bird to sit on a clutch for you, this might be one that is good for you.
This is an egg-laying breed. I mean, that's what they were selected for. They were selected to be a laying breed.
Right. I mean, and that's what they do.
Right. And that's a lot of the time when you get these light-bodied birds, it's because they've been selected to be good foragers that lay a lot of eggs.
The only birds that are light-bodied that are good mamas are bantams, right? Because bantams have it bred in them to be mamas. I mean, there's other light-bodied good birds, but
often you're right. Yeah.
Bantams are light-bodied, little tiny birds, but want to be moms. I feel like when you have Mediterraneans, you have these light-bodied birds, they're no nonsense. They're like, let me lay my egg and go about my business. I got stuff to do. I do not need to be no mama sitting on these eggs forever. I got other stuff to do.
I want no kids, man. I need to go catch some bugs.
I mean, the Lakenvelder makes a great homestead bird. They got jobs to do. They don't have time to be this mom out there to all these birds.
If you're primarily looking for laying hens, you know, an egg supply, and you want birds that can really help with permaculture or regenerative agriculture where you can range them, the Lakenvelder is perfect for that.
Because they're very gentle, but they're active. So you kind of are going to have to make those provisions. So what that means is have them in a larger enclosure, yeah. Give them more supervised free range. It doesn't mean just let them run wild because they'll run wild until somebody sees them for 2 seconds and they're going to be gone.
They might be black and white chickens, but they're still primarily white chickens, which means a big target.
Yeah, and I think every chicken's a target out there by themselves anyway. So be very careful. But you know what you can do is if you want this breed of chicken is start with a bigger aviary, a bigger run to begin with so that they'll have more space. And then when you can supervise free range, bring them up to your garden, let them turn them over. They want to be worker bees. They want to be doing the jobs.
Turn over the compost pile, all that. They really do need that foraging time. They are very, very, very good foragers. They're not the friendliest chickens, but you can probably win over individual birds if you handle them a lot and win their trust.
I keep talking about the leghorn, but we learn things from the leghorn. And we learn this from the leghorn that what you put in, you will get back out. So if you say, you're saying to yourself, oh my God, I got, you know, Lakenvelder and they're going to be flighty and I'm not, then that's what you're going to get out. But if you get a bird like this and you say, I'm going to put extra love and snuggles from the very beginning, you're going to imprint on them. They're going to imprint on you. And it's going to turn their personality.
If you are just keeping the Lakenvelder as a homestead breed, like you're turning them out to range, you're bringing them back in and you're not handling them, they probably are going to stay a little bit aloof because they're not used to being handled. I mean, it really depends on the way you choose to keep and work with them.
I feel like any bird that we come on here and we give their personality as whatever, You have the ability to change that. This isn't written in stone. What you put in, you will get back out. So right. If you really want a snuggly Lakenvelder, you can have that. You just have to start from the beginning and be a really cuddly mom to this bird. And right. Then they'll learn that behavior.
They do make an absolutely gorgeous addition to a chicken lady's flock. But again, keep in mind that they have a pretty developed startle reflex, so they can be a bit flighty. That simply means, and I have to do this with Delilah, the Egyptian Fayumi, I have to make noise before I walk up behind her so I don't frighten her.
Right.
You just have to keep in mind your bird's individual needs. But, you know, as wild as the Fayumis are, I can scoop Delilah up for a hug anytime I want to.
Now, these little small body chickens, they have some big homes, so they're going to need some provisions. We talk about this all the time. You can have these birds in these different areas, but what you need to do is make provisions. And I can tell you this much right now. The provisions are easy. A panel heater, it's super easy to protect the combs. The pictures that we got after the cold spells this winter.
Oh, awful.
Break your heart with the frostbite. And it's preventable. You know, the technology is there. You know, try the deep litter. The panel heater is our new technology that is, you know, not as much of a fire risk at all. Right. Throw out your heat lamp. You don't need it. We got a new technology. And if you want these birds in a colder environment, just make the provisions for them.
I think that the deep litter actually might work really well with these birds because they're always foraging. They're always digging. So they would turn the deep litter over for you.
They would turn it over.
The converse is also true. They don't do so well in the cold, but these birds do great in heat. They have that big comb to let the heat off and they're small bodied.
Right. So, I mean, you're making provisions for one part of the year and not the other, where the big fluffies, a lot of times you have to make provisions on both sides of the right. year. So, right. you know, it is an easier chicken for the summer versus the winter. But I'm telling you, like, just to throw a panel heater where they are, it's not a big deal to protect those combs. I don't like seeing the pictures of these chickens coming into us with their combs from frostbite. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Enough said on that rant. Let's go to where we can find them because now everybody's going to want a Lakenvelder, right?
Well, I would have them in my flock. Would you have them in your flock?
Of course, I would have them in my flock.
They're beauties. Murray McMurray Hatchery does breed these beautiful birds and they sell them as day old sexed chicks. So you can get yourself some Lakenvelder pullets.
And you don't have to go straight run. They're sexed. So if you just want girls, you can get girls over there.
You can also check in with the Lakenvelder's Breeders Group on Facebook. And you can check the Livestock Conservancy's Breeders Directory. I love this bird. This is a beautiful little bird.
I think Andrea is the owner of Chicken Love Box. I'm pretty sure she has Lakenvelders.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we might have to get her to give us some pictures of hers.
Oh, you know it would be a perfect flock. If you did Lakenvelders with Appenzell or Spitzhobbins or
Hamburgs.
Hamburgs, yeah.
They're all around the same size, big egg layer. So, you know, if you have a smaller area and you want to get more bang for your buck with your chickens and eggs, this would be, we talk about it all the time, chicken keeping in a smaller area. This would be the type of bird you'd want to bring in.
Oh, they'd be wonderful for that. I love that idea.
So if you have a picture of your Lakenvelder, send it over. Or just simply put it up on your story and hit that mention button, put us in, and then it sends us a message and we can reshare it.
And don't be afraid of those white eggs. Those white eggs make every other egg in your egg basket pop.
I love having white eggs in my egg basket.
Love it, love it.
If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. They're back with an innovative new product. You're going to want to check this out.
It's an extra large set, a 14-pound feeder and 3-gallon water with steep anti-roost lids. They're made of super durable material. You can either stand them on legs or hang them on brackets on your coop or fence. They're easy to remove and clean too. Plus, they look awesome.
We personally use Roosties and we're huge fans. So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, check out the Roosty store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes.
UK chicken lovers, this one's for you. Get happy, healthy hens with EcoNourish's live calci worms. Enrichment, nutrition, and protection in one tasty, sustainable pack. Scientifically proven to support glossy feathers, strong laying and skeletal health,
protect from disease, and improve gut health and immunity. You'll also bust flock stress by stimulating natural instincts and get eco bragging rights. Visit econourish.co.uk and use the code COFFEE15 for 15% off your first order. Your chickens and the planet will hug you for it.
Okay, so let's move on to main topic. Yeah.
Joining us this week, we have Ginger Stevenson, the marketing manager for Murray McMurray Hatchery. Ginger is here to talk all things poultry, of course, but also to tell us a little bit more about this wonderful festival that's coming up, Murray Fest Midwest. Ginger, welcome back.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Great. Good to see you as always. So tell everyone, I mean, I'm sure most people have heard us mention it on the show, but for anyone who has missed it, can you tell everyone what exactly is Murray Fest Midwest?
Oh, Murray Fest Midwest is, well, I tell people I may be a little crazy because we go to all these conferences and for the past couple of years, we're like, you know what? We should bring people to Iowa. And we get questions year after year asking people wanting to come and do tours and come visit and come see the hatchery. And so we're like, well, maybe this is the year. So we decided to bring people to Iowa and showcase Central Iowa, showcase the hatchery and our friends. We're bringing all of our friends with us. And we're really excited about it.
We are super excited too. We really can't wait.
We are two of those friends that you're bringing. So we're super excited to come to Iowa and see Iowa. Like, it's going to be great. We're really excited.
It's flat. Very flat.
It's flat. And it's in the middle of the country. But you know what? Neither Kristen nor I have ever been to Iowa. So we're crossing a state off with this visit. Mm-hmm.
We are.
We're asking everybody to come to fly over land. Usually when people tell me that they know where we are, I'm like, when you're over us, look down. And we're right in the middle of everything. But Iowa's a fun place. There's lots of corn. You're going to see
Excellent.
Corn. A lot of chickens. So there's a lot of chickens here, but it's nice. You know, we've been here 107 years and it's about time we bring people here. I got something in the mail the other day that you might like. I'll have to send you pictures of it. Someone did a clipping from 1930. Ooh. And it was when Murray had a festival or kind of like a chicken open house. And it's interesting how close it is to what we're going to do.
They had
contests. They had people come. They had a chick sale. So I'll have to send you the clipping that we got in the mail.
That's amazing. Cool. I love that. Yeah.
Now, so unknowingly, we're giving a nod back to the 1930s and doing it all over again.
I love that.
That's fantastic. Really fun.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get to the festival at large in a minute here, but we want to mention the VIP stuff because you can buy VIP tickets to the festival and that does get you a tour of the hatchery. Can you tell us a little bit more about the VIP?
Yeah. So one of the biggest requests we always get is a tour. And we generally say, no, we don't give tours for biosecurity reasons.
Of course.
So we are opening a very limited number of VIPs. And those are selling very quickly because that is a popular item. The VIP ticket, that includes a meet and greet with the speakers each night. But the tour, we were going to be running groups of these people over to the hatchery. And it happens to be Saturday and Sunday where we're in between hatches. So it's a good time for us to get people in. They're going to be able to see where we sex. There's hatching rooms, incubator rooms, and our shipping room that everybody sees on our live videos every week. And Tom and the group are going to answer questions. And we're just really excited to kind of offer that. There will be some biosecurity measures in place to make sure that everything goes smoothly because we are in the middle of our season.
Yeah.
But then on the Monday after the festival, one of the most exciting things is as after people are done and on their way home, we're having a chick sale out front of the hatchery.
Oh, that's dangerous.
And they're going to be able to hang out with us there because we're going to be drinking coffee and talking chickens with everybody, you know, as they're buying their chicks.
Yeah. So the Monday morning after the festival, you know, because you want to grab your chickens, get them home, get them in a brooder. They can make that road trip with you very easily. The reason why we decided to do it this specific weekend is because the 4th of July falls in the middle of the week, which that hinders shipping. You can't ship on the weeks when you have a U.S. postal holiday in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
We'll be pulling our flocks for next year, starting our own chicks, but we will have chicks to sell. So it's an open to the public chick sale out front of the hatchery with coffee and the chicken ladies. Some other speakers are going to come.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
That's a fun finale to the whole weekend, I think.
Do we have to wear bunny suits when we go in the hatchery? Because that would just be hilarious.
I am ordering some zip-up suits. Yes, there will be foot covers, things like that. You know, just trying to work through how we're going to put those on young kids.
Yeah.
They're big. But yes, the biggest thing is if you have chickens and you have a farm or whatever, and you have not basically been away from it long enough, you want to make sure that biosecurity is really in place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's very important. Overall, people want to make sure that things are done well.
Absolutely. Literally, anytime Chrissy and I travel anywhere for a chicken event or a poultry event, we don't bring any clothing that has ever been worn on either one of our farms or footwear. There's no sense doing it. Yeah.
It goes directly in the washer as soon as we get home. Everything, the bottoms of the shoes all get completely washed and disinfected. Mm-hmm. You have to be really careful with biosecurity and especially with chickens right now. And that's a great idea. But it will be fun to wear the suits and to go in. So how can you ask? You can't ask for more.
Be a new fashion statement for you. It'll go with your glasses.
I cannot wait. My red glasses and a white suit is going to be great. Can't wait.
The festival itself is on the Saturday, Sunday. That's 2 days from about 8 to about 5 is speakers on 3 to 4 stages, depending on the time of day. From 5 to 6 is VIP meet and greets and kind of a transition. And then from 6 till whenever we have bands each night. So
we're going to party. We're going to party. It's not going to be coffee with the chicken ladies. It's going to be partying with the chicken ladies.
Now, the party, itself is not going to be at the hatchery. That's offsite.
Correct. Well, it's only about a mile away. In town, so you get to know Webster City. Webster City is not that big of a location. I think it's only about 8,000 residents. So it's a small community. It's about an hour north of Des Moines. And the fairgrounds is really nice and has, if you've been to an outdoor, like a homesteading conference and festival where you've been out where the weather is out there, every building is air conditioned.
Ooh, nice.
So Iowa can be really hot or really stormy. So while we're rain or shine, at least every talk is within a covered building with air condition. It's great.
You made me happy. I mean, really happy, because I was literally thinking about packing everything for hot weather. Oh, thank you, Ginger. That's magical.
It'll still be hot. There's a whole stuff in the middle. You got to go out there. So
I already told Holly. I already told Holly Ann that definitely wearing my cowgirl boots from Allen Boots in Austin that I got there. They have to make it to Iowa. She was like, do you really have to? I'm like, yes, I do.
I mean, you can wear your cowboy boots all you want, honey, but you're going to sweat. That's hot. Cowboy boots are hot.
It's about the fashion. It's about the chicken.
I will be about the fashion. I will be over here with cool feet and sandals. Thank you very much.
Should we tell them what we have in store for you?
Yes.
Yes. Let's tell them.
So Tom had this genius idea. He says, coffee and chicken ladies, why don't we have a tent where you just sit in comfy, bougie chairs all decked out, kind of like it's your Coffee with the Chicken Ladies living room and a coffee truck. And you just talk about chickens with the Chicken Ladies all day long.
I'm going to drink so much coffee that I'll never stop talking. Yeah.
That was, I think, the best idea.
Just hanging out. I mean, I think I'm going to try to, because this would be hilarious, I'm going to try to make a bingo card or some bingo cards, because Chicken Lady Bingo is like just super fun.
We're pretty fun to hang out with. So, yeah, you know, you can come bring your questions, and we drink a lot of coffee. So we'll be talking a lot, and we love it. And we're going to be doing some talks for everybody
and
up there
talking.
Too.
Yeah, yep. You're on stage twice.
Yes. So
I talked to you into twice. So we're doing twice.
We can do 100 if you wanted us to do 100.
Ginger.
I mean, if I have a voice, hopefully I'll have a voice then.
You'll have a voice. You're not still going to be sick in June.
No,
July.
I'm joking.
I don't. This is me being superstitious. I'm knocking on everything. No, that you need that voice back.
I need that voice back.
Tell us some of the speakers. You have a fantastic lineup.
Oh, I've been working on speakers for a couple months now, and I'm super excited. First, we announced that our friend Rory Feek is coming from Tennessee. He has his own festival earlier that month, and then they are coming up to ours at the end of June, and he's both going to talk and sing.
Nice.
I've heard him talk at other events, and that alone is just worth it. It's so nice. He has such a great message and such a gentle person and one of our dear friends.
Nice.
And
that's
then
great.
We're just thrilled he's going to be singing. He does kind of an intimate singing when he sings. So he's special when you see him in concert, just him, because as a songwriter, there's always a story behind everything he tells. So he basically tells everybody he's a storyteller, and there's unique stories and messages behind everything that he's written. He's written these number one songs, and a lot of people wouldn't even know what he's written. And you're like, oh my God, you wrote these songs. But the stuff that he writes himself, and when he tells the stories about it, it's very special. And this last week, we had a very exciting announcement. So
yes,
part of homesteading is growing your own food and raising chickens, raising livestock, gardening. You know, we're going to have sourdough and bees because everybody wants those too. So my friend Jess from Roots and Refuge is coming.
Nice.
And she's one of the best speakers when it comes to gardening and tomatoes and everything. Well, for years, one of her bucket moments has been to meet Charles Dowding from England.
And you're making that happen for her. How exciting.
We are. Yeah, I got a text and she's like, OMG, I can't believe this.
I mean, I've followed him for years because he does the whole no-dig garden. That's his thing.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So no-dig gardening, how to raise more with less effort. Better for the soil, improve your soil, improve your planet, raise better vegetables. I know a lot of people watch his YouTube videos.
Yeah.
His YouTube videos are stunning. And he gives courses at his farm. He has a tiny farm with all of his raised beds and his greenhouses. Yeah. And that's like a lifetime trip, you know, to go over and to be able to see him.
Absolutely.
And to learn from his workshops. And we were beyond excited to hear when he said that he would come and talk. So
that is fantastic. I'm so excited for that too. I could listen to him talk about compost for hours, and I'm not joking.
He knows his stuff. And, you know, I can't seem to grow a carrot to save my life. So they look like thread. And so I'm just waiting. I'm like, I need some help here. So I have my bucket list of all the things that I want help growing. So I'm going to be lined up with everybody else. Please help me.
I want to grow fat carrots. Can you help me, please? Fat carrots.
I just want to grow a carrot. I'll be happy if it qualifies as a carrot as opposed to just a root. Let's see what other speakers we have. We have Charles Dowding, Rory Feek, Roots and Refuge, my friend Ann Briggs. People know her as Ann of All Trades.
Right.
It's the queen of teaching people how to use tools and And just basically, I kind of need remedial help on how not to cut my arm off with using carpools.
I agree. Me too.
So I'll be standing right next to her on how to build things. The other one that helps us, that's going to teach people how to build things, is Jason from So the Land.
Nice.
He's a YouTuber and he builds things that are just amazing and beautiful. Even his chicken brooders have like a fantastic design to them.
Nice.
So Jason and Lorraine and their daughter Penelope are coming. You guys are coming.
With bells on. We can't wait. Yes.
Jingle, jingle. If
you want to learn about canning and preserving and just homesteading in general, Anna Seda Scott is a farm girl in the making. She is one of the best and most inspiring speakers. I've heard people say that when she comes off stage, she's one of the speakers that gives them actual things that they can do and take away. You know, it's not just overall inspiring. It's they can actually go home and do the things that she teaches them.
Now, let's talk about some of the other bands that you're bringing in for entertainment. Oh, you want
to, let's talk about music.
Yeah, let's talk about music.
Okay, so the first night there is an Iowa couple and their band. They're named Brad and Kate. Tom and his wife, Ashley, found them, I think, at a local winery playing there. And very talented and up-and-coming little group. So they are going to kick off the whole event.
Nice! And
then they're followed by, there is a guy from New York coming with his band. His name is Seth Kessel. He kind of has... Let's see. It's kind of like this rock bluesy kind of swanky feel to him as far as how he plays music. So we'll start out with the one band, then go into the rest of the evening with the next. The second night, Rory starts out the whole evening as our featured entertainer with that, you know, special songwriting and storytelling with him. And then closing out the evening is another Iowa band. It's Damon Dotson and his band. They're a very good band and perfect to close out the whole festival.
It's going to be so much fun. We want everybody to come out and have a ton, and I'm talking a ton of fun with all of us.
You know, you can go and you can meet all these people individually, but... We've assembled this group of people that we think are truly special. These are people we travel with. We meet them all over the country. They become friends. They're very, very good at their field and what they talk about. You guys are experts in heritage breeds and documenting. And I mean, we have you right on our blog. So I think learning about all the different things, whether it's gardening, chickens, homesteading, sourdough, cows. Janet Garman, the Timber Creek farmer, is going to teach people about sheep.
I love the format that you're using because it's different than anybody I've kind of seen. All the conferences out there, they're very educational, but it's all work and no play. What I like that you have done is you've made it a true destination, a true long weekend of everybody having fun and learning and coffee to wine. It's going to be great.
One of the little projects I'm kind of excited about is, so everything is serving back to our community. And we have a lot of 4-H groups in the state of Iowa.
Right.
And so all of Central Iowa specifically. One of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to have the equivalent of like a live catalog, a live display, because the catalog is my baby. And I can show people pictures all I want, but I want to be able to show people the chickens that we have. Mm-hmm. So I've wrangled a bunch of 4-H kids in our Central Iowa area, and they are all receiving chickens over the next couple weeks. The whole program, I'm super excited about this. A friend of mine who was a superintendent in Southern Iowa came up with it. So they get 6 chickens and they have to figure out what the breed is and learn about them.
How fun.
Then they're going to come to the festival and we're going to have show cages as if they were at the fair, and they're going to display their chickens so people can see the chickens that we sell. But then we're bringing in our friend who is an APA judge, and he's going to teach them and judge them. And they're going to go through a whole poultry show, and they can win prizes and awards and everything. But just for the local kids to come in and participate and learn, and then we're showing off these breeds. I just delivered last week some Faverolles, Houdans, Anconas, Yokohamas. Mm. So.
Well, we already know which one of those is going to be my favorite. It's no big secret.
I'm going for the Faverolles. What an amazing idea. I love that so much, Ginger. That's beyond inspired.
I'm super excited. We did it. There was the Knoxville, Iowa area. It was the Fancy Project. And it was a couple years ago. You know, you go to these poultry shows, and I wanted the kids to basically have access to us to say, okay, is this an Andalusian? Is this an Ancona? What is this? And enter it in the right category.
Okay.
You know, and not just stick, you know, a Brahma over in a Mediterranean class.
Right, right.
So they can learn. And then it all leads into the fair. These kids are all going to go to the county and the state fair, but they have access to this poultry judge to teach them, here's how to handle your bird. Here's your presentation, and here's how you're going to do this. So it's kind of a mini thing that's going on because, you know, we needed more to do.
It's so much fun. I love it. I love it.
It's just an extra thing that's going on, bringing in community involvement. And the 4-H, you know, is helping to participate in this. This is my little extra thing. We'll be having more other little extra things, I'm sure. But
it's the reason why we love you, Ginger. You're amazing. And we love working with you and McMurray Hatchery. You guys bring us joy, and all of our chickens that we love, especially Houdans.
Chrissy single-handedly is going to sell us out of Houdans this year.
I think you're right. She's on a mission.
They're amazing.
I've been enthralled with my Langshan, the black Langshan that you sent me last year, since I took her out of the box. And I don't know why they're not more popular. What amazing chickens they are.
They are stunning birds. One of the most overlooked breeds, I think, is the Langshan. A lot of people get them mixed up with, you know, the whites with the white Marans and the blacks with, you know, they just get them confused with other birds. And then they're like, well, I already have a feather-footed bird, or I already have this. There was an old one in our catalog. It was a rooster, and it was one of Tom's favorite birds. His name was Fred, because every single bird Tom has, he names him Fred. But it was one of his favorite birds ever. It was this beautiful, sleek bird. The white ones are actually APA certified.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm about to get more breeds evaluated through the APA. So I think I'm going to ask that we have completely new certifications this year, so that every time we recertify, it's all new breeds versus just the same ones over and over. It just depends on how they, when they look at the birds and what they think is worthy.
Yeah.
And highlight different ones each time. But the Langshans overall are just stunning.
And I only have one to judge from, but she is smart, but not too smart. She's very sweet and friendly. And she's a plain black bird, but she's so different in conformation from every other breed out there. She's tall and statuesque. She's got the feathered legs, but it's very different from the Cochins and the Brahmas. And she's glorious, and the sun hits her and she lights up like a green flame. I mean, she's absolutely glorious. I'm enthralled with this hen.
Yeah, the sheen on that black, you know, I think a lot of people are like, well, that's just a black bird. But you look at that iridescence in the sunlight, they're stunning.
It's stunning.
And like you said, the feather footing changes, you know, Cochin from a Brahma to a Langshan.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different on, you know, where the feathers come off of which toes, how much is on each leg. It just depends on how deep you want to dive into, like, the geekiness of breeding chickens, I suppose.
Holly wants to dive in very deep.
I'm in deep. Well, I love it because in that particular flock, I have all my Asiatics. There's my Aston, there's my Cochin, and there are my Brahmas. And you can see the differences. And then they are very, very different when you line them up.
want to get geeky with chicken genetics and chicken breeding, you can just come find us in the tent.
I mean, this is what I'm saying.
There's going to be a lot of chicken geekiness going on.
This is what I was going to say to everybody out there. Think about coming, because it's going to be so much fun and really educational, but in a fun way. And you don't get that a lot. We're going to be there. We're going to be talking with everybody. It's going to be just great. Get your tickets.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We just wanted people to come have fun. We're going to learn. We're going to just hang out, basically. It's going to just be a lot of activities, a lot of fun, a lot of good food. For those of you that didn't know, Tom went to culinary school.
Wow.
I think he told us that
a while ago.
He's done a million jobs. And one of them is he went to culinary school and his whole family's coming. And so there will be food. There will always be food. There will be good food. We've been working on food, entertainment, speakers, all sorts of stuff, activities, kids' activities.
And it's in the summer. It's a perfect getaway for a long weekend to come bring the kids, have some fun. What we're going to do is put the link in our show notes, so directly to getting the ticket. So it's going to be great. Come hang out with us.
Here's my problem, Chris. I wanted to drive so that we could get chicks, and you insisted we fly, and now I can't bring chicks home.
I'm saving you. We are flying. We are not driving.
You wait. We get there, and you're going to see some babies that you can't have, and you're going to be sorry you didn't.
This is our main argument every time we do a trip. It's drive or fly. I'm a fly girl, and Holly Ann's a road trip girl.
I am a road trip girl, and the biggest reason why is because the livestock can go in my Subaru and drive home with me. And if I get on a plane, I can't bring any.
While you're planning your trip, look at the website. The website has a link on how to plan your trip. It has hotel options in there with certain hotels are discounted. If they have questions, they can send us a message and we'll tell them where good places are for Airbnbs, where to stay. There's information on two airports. You can come to Minneapolis or Des Moines. Depending on how far of a drive you want, there is a little bit of a drive. And just if they have questions, let us know. But buy your tickets and come.
That sounds fantastic. We cannot wait.
Come and meet everybody. Come and have a great weekend with us. Just buy the tickets. It's worth it. Just do it. Treat yourself. Treat yourself and come and have a great time.
And there'll be coffee.
Yes. And then wine. Wine.
And chickens. I'm seriously excited about the chickens.
And chickens. Well,
coffee and chickens, I promise. Perfect.
That's perfect. Ginger, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you on. It's always great fun. And, you know, thank you for putting together such a really fantastic event.
We're really excited. We hope everybody comes.
Us too. You're doing a great job. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, ladies.
Bye.
We just want to thank Ginger one more time for coming on for a really great chat. Check out Murray Fest Midwest website. We have it linked in the show notes, or just a Google search will bring it up. And we hope to see you there.
Thank you, Ginger. And come see us. Come spend a long weekend with us. We want to meet everybody. And this is a way that we can all meet in one place and have a lot of fun together. It's going to be great.
Coffee and chickens. The best.
And wine. And wine. Okay. So let's move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. Now, this week's cracking the eggs, we're doing
popovers.
They're light and easy, and it's something that you can do in a hurry if you're really hungry and you need a good meal.
It doesn't really take that long to make them. It's true. So popovers are like these, they're almost like a biscuit or a roll, but they're almost hollow inside.
Right.
They're brown and a bit crispy on the outside, and then they're light and airy, practically hollow on the inside. They're the cousin, the American cousin, maybe. They're the American cousin of Yorkshire pudding. And Yorkshire pudding is another batter pudding that's made with beef or meat dripping, so it's a savory pudding.
Right.
In popovers, oil or butter is generally used, and popovers made in dedicated popover molds tend to be taller than Yorkshire puddings. Now, what they have in common is egg-rich batter and the need for higher than normal oven temperatures to make them rise and pop over the top of the pan.
Exactly. Hence the word popover.
Yep. The secret to popovers is to have all of your ingredients at room temperature or even a bit warmer if possible, and to briefly heat the baking pan in the oven. Also, if you don't have popover molds, you can use muffin tins.
Exactly.
Now, the popovers, I just made a fresh batch this morning. They are great for brunch. They're a really nice accompaniment for soup or stew. Some people like them for breakfast with jam and butter, which is what I did. But you can also add herbs or cheese to them and make them savory. They're kind of a blank slate that you can do lots of stuff with.
And it fits right into the recipes that we like, that you can kind of make your own. You can, you know, change it up if you like.
Yep.
One recipe that gives you many different options. And that's why we wanted to use these. A little note that you were saying is you're going to get less rise from the gluten dairy free than you will from the normal.
Right.
The gluten.
Because regular wheat flour, the gluten actually lets it stretch and rise a lot more. So if you make the gluten-free, they're just not going to rise as much and they won't be quite as hollow, but they're still delicious. So
they're still really good. So let's go into the ingredients that we're going to need for this recipe. 4 large eggs. Right now, I'm overfloweth with eggs.
Right?
So I'm great. I'm great. 1 1/4 cups of milk or plant milk, slightly warm. I don't like that, but let's do it anyway. I'm not a fan of warm milk. I'm just not.
Drinking it, Chris. You're just warming up for the popover batter.
I know. I warm it up for my mashed potatoes too. So it's the same thing. 1 cup of flour or gluten-free flour, 1-to-1 baking flour, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 3 tablespoons of butter or dairy-free butter, melt it. So keep in mind, this is kind of like your mashed potatoes. When you put everything in, if you put it in cold, it's not going to work as well. Everything has to be warm for it to go together nicely. Right. That's why we say the milk has to be warm, the eggs have to be room temperature, a little bit warmer, and the butter has to be melted. It's the same way as when you do mashed potatoes.
Right. Now, you can warm the eggs, and this is what I did. I put them in a bowl, and I just filled the bowl with hot water and let them sit for about 10 minutes.
Right.
It works just fine.
And then you're going to preheat that oven to 450. That's a high heat oven. Okay. Yeah.
So your muffin or popover pan, what you're going to do, you're going to get the popovers pretty much completely made. Then you're going to pop that pan in the oven, take it back out, and you can grease it with cooking spray or butter. Because the pan was hot, the spray worked a lot better.
Yeah, exactly.
And then put the batter in. So you want a medium-sized mixing bowl or a batter bowl. This is a place where a batter bowl with a spout is perfect because the batter is very liquidy.
I have lots of them and I love them.
I love that jadeite one you just got.
Yeah.
So you're going to add the eggs and the milk to the bowl, whisk them together. Then you're going to add the flour and the salt, whisk that in. Then you're going to whisk the butter. The melted butter. You're going to take that pan out of the oven, remember, and grease it right now. You're going to pour your batter into the prepared pan, filling each cup like a half
to two thirds.
Halfway filled, two-thirds, something like that. Yeah. You don't want to overfill it. Pop them in the oven for 15 minutes. Once your timer goes off at 15 minutes, you're going to lower the oven heat to 350 and bake an additional 10 to 15 until the popovers are nicely brown. Don't open the oven until the end. Resist the urge because that's how you make them fall.
It's so funny. Every time we talk about putting a pan in the oven first, I always think Bake at Home Pizza John Pizza. They're so good that they always have you put the pizza pan in first for 10 minutes.
You heat up the pan first. Okay.
It always takes my brain there because I'm always like, heat that pan up for 10 minutes. And it's always at high heat too. Like they have you put the pan in at 450.
Okay.
So, and it cuts down, but it really does serve a purpose because if not, it takes too long and it draws it all out too long. It has to be a quick heat.
It also starts the outside browning fast, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are your popovers. They're not hard to make. It's a blank slate. You can add sugar to them and make them sweet. You can do whatever you want with them. You know, add herbs and garlic and serve them with stew, whatever. They are so good. I will never get tired of eating them.
It's a great time to invite your bestie over, talk some chickens, talk your chick order, see what you're going to be doing, a little snack on some biscuits, some popovers. It'd be great. You'll be great.
Perfect.
Okay, try it. You might like it. Let us know what you think. We'll be looking for some pictures. Okay, so let's move on to retail therapy.
Retail therapy.
Yeah. This week's retail therapy, we're going to have to tell a story about it, but let's just say what we're talking about first.
We're talking about Duluth Trading Company Free Range Undies, because they have chicken prints.
Okay. And yes, we did say retail therapy is chicken underwear. Yes. Because we want everybody, every chicken lady to know out there that you can get these underwear that have chickens on them for yourself.
Right. Now, Duluth, if you're not familiar with Duluth Trading Company, they make a lot of like chore clothes, clothes that can stand up to work, to farming, that sort of thing.
I love their overalls they have on there. I need to get a pair of those.
Those overalls are adorable. I love them too.
So cute.
So we were minding our business one day, and lo and behold, up in our social media feed comes an ad for Duluth Trading Company Free Range Underwear, and it's a chicken print. And we were like, we need these now.
Yes. So do you think we ordered them? Of course we ordered them. And for Holly, let me just go into this because this just adds to the goose mania. They actually had a pair of goose underwear. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now I have to have a bestie that has goose underwear along with chicken underwear.
Yes, I do. Honk, honk. I was very excited when I found the goose underwear. So why we love these? They're super soft, super comfortable, super sturdy at the same time. And they're microfiber, so they do wick sweat away. And I stacked hay wearing a pair of these, and it was great.
I mean, if you want to be a chicken lady from top to bottom, inside out, you could even say, my underwear are chicken, and you could be telling the truth. Because they're out there, they're farming underwear, they're made to be comfy. The hipster cut is my cut. I love them.
Me too.
Who would not want some chicken underwear? Come on.
Probably a good note, because I did get... So the thing is, you can get this print in a lot of different styles. We're both short women with short torsos, and so hipsters tend to be what we do most of the time.
Right.
But I did get a slightly different print, and not the geese are hipsters too. I did get a slightly different print in a high-waisted, and it's high-waisted. I mean, it's high-waisted.
But still comfy? It's
super comfy. But it like comes up over my jeans. It's so high waisted.
Yeah. I mean, we're both short, right? Yeah. So it's like, we don't really need that cut, but you want something that you can go outside, do the work in, be comfortable and feel kind of cool. Like I got chicken underwear.
There's a cut for everybody. They come in briefs. They come in women's boxers. They come in women's boy shorts. Pretty much any cut you can think of, you can get in this chicken print. And they're free range.
Like your chickens.
Free range undies, yes.
Well, like, they should be supervised free range.
They have bralettes, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get almost anything in this print.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, if you're a chicken lady, and we get made fun of for being, like, the ultimate chicken ladies by our families. They're like, really? Like, when we got the underwear, they were all laughing. Like, are you kidding me? You need these underwear? I'm like, yes.
Well, who's laughing now after I stacked a whole delivery of hay and felt like I was sweating? Ha! Huh?
You want to represent down to your underwear. Come on. But it's true. Like, sometimes if you just love something so much and you're so passionate about it, everything, you want something of everything. Like, you want the jewelry, you want the t-shirts, you want this, you want the socks, you want the underwear. And the thing is, we just realized that you can get them. And we wanted to bring that to you. That is groundbreaking news right
there.
Some
of you may already have it, you know, in which case, good on ya. But we didn't, and now we do.
Now we do. Okay.
Deuces.
Enjoy those undies, because we do.
Yeah, yeah. Hong Kong.
Okay. So should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Next week, we are spotlighting a very rare breed chicken. It's a beauty. The Kubalaya.
Going to be fun.
Mark and Twain from Nutrina Feeds are joining us. This is a great discussion. We're going to talk about how to feed your chicks and waterfowl.
This is one we've been waiting for. And welcome back to Mark and Twain. You guys are amazing.
Cracking the eggs. Oh, we're going big. Lemon meringue pie.
Because we want to start thinking about spring.
Yeah. And retail therapy, we're spotlighting a business that has a whole line of beautiful chicken prints, including dishes. That is Blue Stallion Farm.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I can't wait for you guys to see them.
Gorgeous stuff.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.